You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and A-Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, their ZDX is the most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today. Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth chat, discussion and analysis of every Premier League match week and the Champions League as well. I'm Robbie Musto, he's Robbie Earle, and here are the topics for today's episode. Pep Guardiola's Man City ease past Jose's lacklustre Spurs. Everton failed to impress in their loss against Fulham. Leicester score three against the champions as Alisson's nightmare continues. Manchester United drop more points as they draw 1-1 at the Hawthorns. Aubameyang scores a hat-trick as Arsenal see out leads at the Emirates. That's what we've got coming up in today's episode.
There's a moment you realize you're ready for what's next in your career. Maybe it's when you're trying a new scone recipe and think, I could open a cafe. Or maybe you're helping a coworker and say, I could teach a course on this. Whatever your moment is, it's never too early to plan for a career that lives longer. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. For skills training, resume tips, and job listings, visit aarp.org/work.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, Robbie Earle, we're going to start with, I guess, a game that I was certainly looking forward to, bringing together two managers in Pep Guardiola and Jose Mourinho that have been there, won it all, tremendous rivalries in the past. It looks like a mutual respect right now. Yeah. And I got to say, I did expect a closer game. I think we'll get into where we are right now with Jose's Tottenham Hotspur, Rob, but 3-0 to Manchester City, a Rodri penalty, two goals again from the man of the moment right now, Ilkay Gundogan. God, Rob, it seemed easy, didn't it, for Manchester City?
Yeah. It seemed too easy, Rob, and that's the point that, remember the reverse fixture, Jose Mourinho's Spurs won 2-0. A Sun goal in the first 5 minutes obviously changes the complexity of the game. Lo Celso makes a run from deep. Harry Kane plays him in 2-0. I think that was back in November. And if I remember right, Rob, Spurs went top of the table that day. And Manchester City were 11th. And I think we were working on the game. Well, certainly we did a podcast after and went, it's classic Jose. His team's well set up. Make mistakes on the ball and they're going to hurt you. And it was interesting. So before the game, listening to the press conferences as we always do, and Pep was saying that, you know, one or two of the reporters were saying how you find it against Jose. And he said, you really always have to be on your toes with the Jose Mourinho team. They're well set up, they're well organised system. And if you make mistakes on the ball, they will punish you.
Yeah.
So it was almost like his thing to his team was, we've got to be so good on the ball that they can't punish us. Mm-hmm. And it kind of played out that way. They didn't make many mistakes on the ball. And so they weren't really that often looked like they were going to get punished.
Mm. That's right, and I think that's been the story, Rob. When their football's clean and it's accurate and it's slick, then they don't give opponents an opportunity. And when the opportunities come, as rare as they are, we've talked many times about how strong defensively they are now. I know Ruben Dias was ill, couldn't start this game. Yeah. Laporte played alongside Stones, absolutely no problem again. And, you know, I go through, so I write the teams out, of course, ready for the podcast and stuff, Rob, and I kind of generally go through at the end of it, and I kind of put a tick of who's really on form. Well, let me go through it. Edison, yeah, tick. Cancelo, I think we can all agree that Cancelo is playing, well, he's playing two positions, and it was interesting, Rob, because I really watched Cancelo's position in this game, and for the first... Oh, what was it? Spurs had a couple of chances, like later in the first half. He didn't come inside too much into that midfield role.
Yeah.
He didn't. He stayed there, I guess, because of Heung-min Son's threat. Mm. And then a couple of times, and then there must have been an instruction from the manager, go on, start doing that. I think they got a counter-attack through that area, so he puts Cancelo in there, and then they never look back. But anyway, Cancelo, tick. Mm. Zinchenko.
Yeah. What,
this week's underappreciated, by the way, but he's going to be in contention because he does a pretty good job. Yeah. He's getting older now. He's this makeshift left back. I thought he was excellent at left back. Rodri, yeah, tick, playing great. Bernardo Silva, neat and tidy, playing great. Gundogan, enough said. Foden, Sterling, Jesus. Everybody, Rob, in this team, and there's others, of course, that are not playing yet, they are in a sweet spot. And Raheem Sterling is getting sweeter because he wasn't quite in his sweet spot for me in the last couple of months, Rob. But he embarrassed Ben Davis many times in that outside position. We've talked about Foden so many times, and Jesus now got a start in this game. It's just a case where Pep's got these guys at a perfect spot in their season, in their conditioning, in their feeling, in everything. And it's coming together in a way that looks like no one's going to stop them. No one's stopping them. And I'm shocked I'm saying that. We're in February.
Yeah,
in a season that I did question whether City could go again. My goodness, they have. And they look better than ever in a game that was so comfortable. Wow, so easy, Rob, and so impressive.
And to add to your point, mate, and I agree in terms of where you are in players, I think the other thing that I looked at and was saying was how Pep deserves a bit of credit for how the management, I know we've talked about it, how fresh people look. By the way, I saw the game in midweek in the FA Cup. Yes, it was against Swansea. And yes, you know, Swansea have been playing well. But, you know, Walker plays that game. Mendy plays that game. Garcia plays that
changes.
Game.
Changes.
You know, Silva, Torres plays that game. So, you know, players who are ready for moments. Mahrez didn't start this game. Who've got big performances coming in. I know Champions League is going to come up and that will start to test them a little bit more. But everybody's in a good space. You don't see too many Man City players where it looks like, oh, they're hanging on, or they're desperate for a break, or they look like they're kind of fresh. And you know, Jose comes out and says, well, we played 2 hours of football against Everton. Well, it's only half an hour more than Man City played against Swansea. And I'm not really having all those excuses when he wants to bring them out. But you're right, things are going well. Another clean sheet, I think it's 14 clean sheets in 23 Premier League games with Diaz, without Diaz. I think the depth of squad starts to stand out now. And let's remember, Aguero was on the bench to come back in. Kevin De Bruyne to come back in. Fernandinho. And I want to just go to something, Rob, because I'm not sure we particularly picked up on it, that, again, listening to press to Pep this week in his presser, and he was in a Pep talking mood, you know, where some days you think, oh, answer the question, get out of there. He wanted to talk. And somebody was asking him about the run and obviously the unbeaten games and, you know, where they are at the moment. And he said, he actually went back to a draw with West Bromwich Albion. And he said, that was the turning point in the season. He said, what happened? And it was really interesting. He said, Fernandinho called a team meeting. He went in with the team and they discussed things like, they're not playing the same, their principles, we're not as fit, we're not as hungry. Pep, at that same time, went to his backroom staff and said, are we looking at ourselves? Are we doing enough? Are we supporting the players? And then to bring it together, Pep and Fernandinho had a conversation. And they all decided, we've got to start doing things better. And he said, that was the day and the point when this season took off. And apparently, if you look back to that date, it's the last time they've dropped points.
Interesting. Interesting, Rob. Do you know what? Another one as well. I thought you were going to go down the same road. Just a random one from nowhere, really. But I did think about it. And there definitely has been a change in Pep Guardiola's demeanour on the sideline.
Yeah.
Press conferences in general. particularly when things weren't going so well. There's a new coach, Juan Leo. Now, again, this is just, I'm just picking it out from nowhere, really. Arteta left, and Juan Leo arrived at the football club, and a guy that they've had a relationship for a long period of time, respected Leo's been coaching for many, many years. I just wonder, I'm just chucking it out there, Robert, if there's something different about him that I think he came in the June. So, you know, results weren't amazing then, but it wasn't long before they started finding the groove and finding it. It's just a different relationship, Rob. And I don't know whether it's any kind of, what kind of significance it has, but it's just an interesting to note.
Yeah.
Different demeanor. They turned those from 9 defeats of last season. You know, he comes in the summer and things have picked up. Again, I'm not saying there's a definite connection there, but interesting. Just something different. Yeah. That might explain. I'm not sure there's anything tactically different that he's brought. It looks very similar for Pep's side, but just maybe in his relationship, Rob, and the way that he speaks to his assistant, and he's an older guy, an experienced coach, he might just have given some words of wisdom to chill a little bit. And it might be a little bit part of it.
So it's an interesting little road you go down. And I always remember I was once not in technical company. I heard a conversation that Sir Alex Ferguson had. And it was about the treble season. And you'll know the man I'm going to talk about. They were talking about Steve McLaren, who was his assistant manager then.
Yeah.
It was really interesting that McLaren's job was less about managing the players and more about the manager. And Ferguson said how important he was managing me.
Well, there you go.
It was a really interesting thing for a manager to say. So sometimes, and right now where we are, and I know we're going to talk about Liverpool in a while and Jurgen Klopp and whatever. Jurgen Klopp looks to me like he could do on somebody who's managing him, because he looks like a broken man at the moment. And I fear a little bit for maybe his mental health with some of the personal issues he's had to go through.
Yeah, it's interesting, Rob, isn't it? You know, if you're a top manager, it might just be nice to have different guys coming in every 2 or 3 years, like Sir Alex Ferguson did, just to give them a different sense and a different look and a different, you know, Jose's done it with the guy he's got right now at Spurs.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just thought I'd chuck it in there as something a little bit different. I just want to follow on. Just my last point on Man City is, there's never been a better time for City to be in the knockout stages of the Champions League. I feel differently now, my friend. I feel differently about Man City's chance of winning the Champions League.
Just defending. Is that clean sheets in defending?
Yes. Yes. Yes and yes and yes. They've been let down, Rob, in this competition against good sides at good levels. Again, in two-leg games, where they haven't been strong enough defensively in a foundation. They've got a stronger foundation than they've ever had, for me, going into this stage of this competition. And I know Bayern Munich are amazing. I know Lewandowski scores a zillion goals. And I know there's some strong sides out there. But I got to say that of all the seasons, I've never, never thought Pep, up to this point, would win the Champions League because of the way that, you know, the unbalanced nature a little bit in the way that they play the football and everything else. But then defensively, like, they're going to get caught. They're going to get caught. They're going to concede goals, and they have done. I just want to throw that in there right now that, wow, I tell you, they've got to be right up there with the main favourites of Bayern Munich based on the way they're playing. And I guess, you know, Jesus or preferably Aguero has got to find some form. But defensively, Rob, it makes them a much stronger prospect to win this thing than in recent seasons.
Okay, I want to be the first one to chuck this in for you. Quadruple meal. League Cup, FA Cup, league title, Champions League in all four. Got to the final of League Cup, quarterfinals of the FA Cup.
If he does that, Rob, I mean, is he just dropping the mic? And then if he does that, I mean, he's just dropping the mic and he's just walking out of Manchester, isn't he?
You're gone.
I mean, he's done the three, and he's won the three domestic. I mean, to add a Champions League. I mean, I tell you, of all seasons, maybe this is the season's possible. With other teams being exhausted in all the games, he's got his two different teams. He's got all his rotations. Wow. Wouldn't put it past it. I would not write that off. That would be unbelievable. Spurs, my friend. Talk to me about Jose's project.
Quadruple for Spurs? I think not. Spurs, well, where do I want to start? Where I want to start with Spurs is, Rob, that, and I know some of this is my thoughts, my theory, not what's going to happen. Jose Mourinho and this group are not going to be successful the way it's going. That's what my take is. When I see a team that actually looked on paper with some attacking threats, that's got Lucas, that's got Lamella, that's got Ndombele, that's got Son and got Kane, Rob. If I play a system that for 75% of the game, those players are having to do defensive duty, some of those players, I don't think I'm getting the best of them.
But that's the way he does it, Rob.
But what I'm saying is, the way he does it at the moment has Spurs sitting ninth in the table, has Spurs got a League Cup against Man City that if they perform anything like that will be an embarrassment. Spurs in the Europa League now, that's going to be a really important competition that he might have to concentrate on, that isn't really winning the trophies that he talked about and isn't great to watch.
Yeah, and he said that he was very happy with the squad.
Yeah,
he spent over $100 million on new players. He's had time now. He's had windows. He's got his own assistant in. He's got everything that he wants, Rob. He's got, and I'm not sure whether he requested Gareth Bale, but he's got that added potential. The Dele Alli situation now, Rob, is he's got to start playing him, in my opinion. You know, it's his job to straighten him out if he doesn't train properly. He needs him. The Spurs are a better side with Dele in it. And the little 1-3 seconds of Gareth Bale. But I had everybody. I'm like
a little cameo. Oh,
God, it's enough to. It's enough that silly. Like that 3 seconds is enough to say, "Come on, he needs more minutes. We want to see him." Spurs fans, and I know he might not be right. And Jose has a history of this, where if a player's not 100% right and he's not game ready and his attitude's not great and he's not trained perfectly for the last 3 weeks, he doesn't play them. I think the team needs a little bit of Bale, and he might not be up to it. But let's see. Let's see now. I mean, we're in the middle of February.
It's a good question with Bale. I just wondered, did you obviously picked up the email that the Twitter that was put out by Bale that he was fit and in good shape ahead of the game? Then he apparently goes for a scan and that. Is that the first little start of Jose? You know, I said to Bex, is this a naughty corner coming up for Gareth Bale? Is he going to sit in the naughty chair for a few weeks? Because this is how it starts with Jose. If he feels he's not his guy, you know, Dele Alli, we've seen a similar situation. As you say, come on, the team needs you now. The squad needs you. We need the rotation. We need our best players. And then he came out after and made a statement. I don't know if you caught it. He said, if the quality players on my team get up to speed, then I'll happily play them.
It's starting to get. Again, it's like the history is just starting to come back into the memory, isn't it, a little bit? Like, does he have to fall out with the star players at every club? I mean, he doesn't have to, but he does, Rob. You know, Dele's been this ongoing situation now. He's never spoke particularly highly of Gareth Bale. You know, he's doing his best. We got asked about Gareth Bale maybe a week ago, Rob, in the press conference. I'm doing my best. He's doing his best. We're both trying very, very hard. Basically say, like, he's just not ready to play. You know, so that's the Dele Alli is an obvious fallout. That with the sometimes turgid performances trying to watch them play, where they are on the league table right now, though it's not a massive amount of points gap to get back towards the top four. No. But, 36, when you see them, it's things are starting to mount up where the fans, I would think, are getting frustrated. Like, this isn't what we expected. We expected Jose to figure this team out, to get them strong, to get them impenetrable, and with the fair players to really push at the top of the league table. They're nowhere near it. I don't expect him to go, but it's got to be disappointment around that club, Rob, with the way that the Jose Mourinho project is going right now.
So two things I wanted to talk to you and to make note of. One is that Jose has to trust his defenders, Rob. In his good teams, he has to have people who he can rely on. I don't think he's got too many in this Spurs team.
No. But he said he was happy with this squad. And he's had a chance to bring in new players.
I'm not too sure. The other question, and fair, you know, how Beck sometimes starts going down a road, and me and Beck had a little conversation the weekend, and it was an interesting one. I thought, I'm going to get musty on this. So, Harry Kane, 28 years of age or so, yeah. Prime of his life, scoring goals, guaranteed goals, shown another side to his game, I think, that makes him people realise he's an even better footballer than they thought.
Yeah.
He's in line to become Spurs' top ever goal scorer, beat Jimmy Green's record. That's to come.
But he needs like loads, Rob, like 50 or 60 goals he needs, doesn't he?
Well, if he stays at Spurs, he's, you know, and stays fit. We know he always picks up an injury each year, but that could happen. He's in sight of the Premier League record of Alan Shearer, 260 goals. In sight of that, if he decides to stay at Spurs, or he stays in the Premier League, you might see where I'm going. What becomes important to Harry Kane? What's the legacy of Harry Kane when he finishes? Does Spurs top scorer take you to a level? The Premier League top scorer ever obviously elevates you to a level.
Yeah.
But does winning any silverware compare with that? Or could he go to a Premier League club and win silverware and still beat the Premier League record? Because if it's going to happen, Rob, it's got to happen in the next year.
Is your final question going to be, should he leave the club and lose the possibility of being Spurs?
Yeah. Are we coming to a point where he could leave the club to go and win trophies and not be Spurs' top goal scorer? That's where I'm at.
Yeah, and I'm all over that. And I think after this season, Rob, if they don't, you know, he's there again for Jose and he's trying to win a trophy. If they don't win the League Cup against Man City and they don't go all the way in the Europa League and they finish outside the top four, for me, it absolutely is the right point to say, you know what, I love this club, absolutely love this club, and I've stayed here and I've seen the new stadium and I've been part of the Pochettino thing and now the Mourinho project. But I got to think about myself. I mean, he's in his absolute prime. He will walk into any team in the Premier League, whatever club he wants to. I think he's got to go and win a Premier League title, Rob, and go and bang in some goals and go and enjoy his football again and show everybody what a great finisher he is with the opportunities given week in, week out. I just think it's time. And there should be no problems with him doing that. I listened to a phone in, Rob, a couple of weeks ago, and actually a Spurs fan phoned in and said the same thing. He said, I love the man, but he should move on. Under this guy, you know, we're not going to do what he thought and give us this one season. Yeah. And then you got my blessing to go and fulfill.
Wow, that's good. Your, yeah.
Yeah. So
it's a very balanced view. And you do feel as though maybe at the end of the season, without a League Cup win, without a Europa League title, maybe it's time for Harry
to think about it. I mean, don't you think? What do you think?
I think so. And, you know, people, listen, we've spent some time with Alan Shearer at the fan fest and things, you know, record goal scorer, won a title with Blackburn, though. You know, people suggested that he could have gone Manchester United and won more, but he wanted to be at Newcastle. But he's got a title. Yeah. Harry Kane could finish his career as Spurs record goal scorer and not have any silverware.
Yeah.
It would be a miss for a player of that level and quality.
Yeah, I think so. So, listen, I apologise to the Spurs fans that maybe don't want to hear that, but I think if they really, really thought hard enough about it and thought about his professionalism, his loyalty, his dedication, his abilities, I mean, what an absolute amazing professional he's been for Spurs. But I just think at his age now, you know, go and win some titles and have some fun in a different club. But, yeah.
Let's move on quickly, mate. Let's have a little chat about Everton Fulham. So, disappointing day for Everton. Carlo Ancelotti's team come off that 5-4 win against Spurs. And, I remember the first thing he said in his press conferences, I hope my players don't say that they're tired. We've had enough time to rest. We should be ready to go. Against a Fulham team that are playing well, but bottom three, struggling for goals. But I've got to be honest, Rob, it was one-way traffic in the first half, Fulham having all the chances, Fulham being Fulham in some respects, playing good football, good wit from the wing-backs with Luckman and Loftus-Cheek underneath Madjer as a centre-forward, causing Everton all kinds of problems. And we get to half-time at 0-0. And I said to Danny, this is my worry about Fulham a little bit. Played so well, not got the goals. Second half, I just think Everton will be better. Well, Everton, to be honest, mate, changed the system, weren't much better. Fulham created a couple of chances. One for Pomagic across the six-yard box. Lovely first-time finish. The second one comes off a Harrison Reed shot that's parried onto the post. He reacts quickest, gets his second goal, brace for him, and Fulham win the game. And I think there'd be huge disappointment for Ancelotti and Everton fans watching that. But for Fulham, it's just a lifeline, Rob. It's just a 7-point now gap to Newcastle. Newcastle have lost Callum Wilson for possibly 8 weeks at the worst time it could happen. and somebody told me Newcastle's next few games coming up, they've got a couple of the top teams to play. Whereas I think Fulham have like Burnley and somebody else, maybe Sheffield United or somebody. So there's an opportunity for Scotty Parker to build some momentum.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't see this game, Rob. It's the one game this weekend I couldn't get to see. I was stunned, you know, looking at the result. And I always go to our friend Roger Bennett, of course, massive Everton fan, Men in Blazers fame. And he talks about how frustrating it is. I mean, you look at their games and their points. It was a reason to get proper excited, Rob, going into this game, Fulham at home. I'm looking at the league table like, wow. They're right in the top four conversation with the amount of games, et cetera, et cetera. So, again, I didn't see it, and you spoke. But so who disappointed for Everton? Who I know that Dominic Calvert-Lewin is out at the moment.
Yeah, was out, just a little hamstring that they said he could be for Wednesday against Man City. So the front three, as it's so, Richarlison started from the left-hand side, James Rodriguez on the right-hand side, and Gilfie Sigurdsson played in a false nine. Now, that was behind a back three that he played last week. So, Gomez one side, Doucouré the other, and Tom Davies is a central three. So, three in midfield, wide. Gylfi Sigurdsson coming towards the ball to knit it all together. And then I think the hope was maybe Richarlison running in behind. James Rodriguez is not going to run in behind.
He's not going to run in behind. You
know, he's just going to maybe make combinations. But the problem they had, Rob, was that there was no focal point to the attack. We've seen Manchester City play the false nine and do it brilliantly with inventive, creative, dynamic runs from midfield. There was none of that from Everton. It just looked a system that worked against them in many ways. I was so surprised at halftime that Josh King, who was on the bench, who they've got on loan in the January window, didn't come up just to bring a bit of pace and a bit of presence to the central area. Then maybe put Ziggy, put James, put Richarlison underneath him. And maybe go for two players in midfield, go with Doucouré and Davies. But the shape didn't look right. They didn't particularly play well. Fulham were about it. They could press the game because no one was running in behind. And it's as poor a performance as I've seen for a while from Everton. Not good at all, mate.
Like you said, look at the league table now. I'm looking at it right now. Yeah, that 7-point gap, Newcastle United. Newcastle fans will be like, wow, that's what we didn't want that result. I mean, that's catchable. That's catchable. Yeah. And then Newcastle United they've won seven games, Rob. Fulham have won three.
Yeah.
But with injuries and the way that they can be Newcastle, that we might have a little race there. We might have a little situation for Fulham to try and get on level terms. Now I know next, Rob, Everton. They're facing Manchester City.
On Wednesday.
Yeah, I'm back in the studio.
MBCSN, 3:15 Eastern Time kickoff. Yeah, huge game.
Yeah, so I'm going to be in the studio for that one. So I'll get a real good catch-up on Everton. I watched the Everton game before Wednesday. So look at the odds here from our friends at PointsBet Sportsbook. Here's the latest odds, Robbie Earle. Everton to win, and I don't know how latest this is. Everton to win is plus 650. The draw is plus 380. Oh, crikey. Man City win minus 264. Wow. So that's a really strong favourite for Man City. It's always going to be, I suppose.
If Everton play like they did today, they could be plus 6,000. Honestly, not at the races. Not closing down, not good in possession, no physicality, no real...
Look, Rob, I'm looking at the lineup now, all right? Digne, Holgate, Godfrey, Coleman... Not far off the best back four. You've still got Andre Gomez, you've got Doucouré. I mean, I'm surprised it was that bad. I thought Alan might come back as well.
I mean, Dominic Calvert-Lewin could be back. And I tell you right now, Robin, he's gone from a player who is to work his way into a team to being so important to this team now. Without him, they look lightweight up top, and Josh King's come on, maybe not quite up to speed yet, or hasn't quite got the trust of the manager. But they desperately want Calvert-Lewin back. As you say, it's a little hamstring, I heard Angelotti say, but he's got every chance of making it to that Man City game.
Who was a star? Who was a star player for Fulham, my friend? Any star players?
Star player for Fulham. It was a team star performance, but my underappreciated player of the week is going to go to Josh Maggio. Centre forward, Rob, who's just taken him on loan for Bordeaux, started his career in the academy at Fulham back as a kid, and then he's been to a couple of places, Palace and
Man City, I think, as well.
Yeah, Man City. Then he found himself at Sunderland. Those who've watched Sunderland Till I Die will know he's the guy.
They shouldn't have sold.
And he's got that move, and he's ended back in London. And a couple of things I like about him, Rob, is I liked the way his goals came today. 2 6-yard goals. Love my centre forwards who get goals.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
Slide in a rebound. Like, right place, right time. I like that he's a London boy, that he's coming maybe home, that he isn't got to worry about language. You know, if you're Haller or, we've seen players who've come in the league who have struggled to settle. He knows London. It ain't going to be a problem to him. He's got friends around him. He probably knows players at the football club. He looks a good match. He looked like this is an opportunity. He's maybe found the hard way up to get to the Premier League. He looks like he wants to grasp it. Feel like it's a really good fit. Great bit of business. And let's not forget, Rob, that we were on transfer deadline day. Remember the Josh King saga, where Josh King was going to go to Fulham?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he decided against it.
And then he decided later on to go to Everton. And because of that, Fulham went and got Josh Maggio. And on the day when Maggio comes up with a couple of goals and Josh King sits on the bench at Everton, it's one of them ironic days.
Amazing. And it could just be something like that. He gets a couple of goals, Rob, and he'll take this as what an opportunity for him to be a Premier League player. You know, and France is great, and Bordeaux is a beautiful area of France, but to come back to London, West London, Fulham, and be part of the Premier League scoring goals, wow, what an opportunity. And it could be an incredible signing for the club. We'll have to wait and see.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
Why are smart businesses graduating to NetSuite by Oracle? Because NetSuite eliminates the expense of multiple business systems by consolidating your operations together into one. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth. NetSuite reduces IT costs because it lives in the cloud with no hardware required, so you can access it from anywhere. You cut the cost and headaches of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. Bringing all your major business processes into one platform improves efficiency, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math. You'll see how you'll profit with NetSuite too. And now, by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Just go to netsuite.com/podcast25 for more information. That's netsuite.com/podcast25.
All right, mate. Next game. Oh, dear. Leicester City took on Liverpool. And I got to say, early on, Leicester struggled to stay with Liverpool. My first note of Leicester City is 4-4-2, outplayed. Outplayed early is my first note, my friend. And Kasper Schmeichel was involved a lot. Had to make a lot of saves. Liverpool, I thought, started off with great energy, great pace, great determination. A strong early press is my first note for them. I just thought they looked really, really sharp. Salah, Mane on the outside, Firmino. I still, one of my notes is, come on then, before his amazing assist, like, I wanted more from him, Rob. And I'll be honest, I wanted more from Roberto Firmino. And then, of course, he produces that, and it's all died to death a little bit on that, of course. But, yeah, I thought Liverpool started off great, Rob. I thought they started off really good. A reaction from the last results. And, yeah, everything looked hunky-dory.
Yeah, first half, I think the only disappointment is that they don't score. I have a couple of chances. Mane looked like he had the beating of Marte. On the other side, Salah got in a couple of times, made bad touches in behind Pereira. Henderson hit those long diagonals once or twice. Nice press. Kabak didn't, you know, look like he was coping. Once or twice, just got caught in off the shoulders from Vardy. But we know that happens against better defenders, more experienced defenders. So, yeah, you know, 45 minutes in, I'm thinking, you know, disappointing not to have scored. Milner coming off for Thiago might have had something with the way the game played out. But, you know, half-time, 0-0 into the second half, and you get a goal up. A brilliant,
beautiful
play by Bobby Firmino, which is what he's about when he's on top of his game, can have these moments. Salah with the goal, 17 Premier League goals, Rob. It's remarkable that he just keeps on scoring.
Can I just add, of course, the Firmino assist was amazing. The finish was pretty good as well, by the way. I mean, it came to him pretty quickly, unexpected, and his first time, left foot, side foot. I just thought it wasn't as good as the assist, because the assist was special, but we're far behind. I thought the Salah kind of technique and to get that organized quickly and to side foot that with some pace in the corner was brilliant. So, yeah, brilliant round, all round goal for Liverpool. Yeah. And then what was it like? Six minutes.
Six minutes of madness that starts, well, the Madison goal and the offside, whether Marty was, and the boot of Firmino, it was one of those.
Yeah.
He's onside. It doesn't matter then whether he's playing the ball. It goes in. We won it. So we won it, Rob. Liverpool have played quite well. And I go back to a point I made last week where there was a time over the last couple of seasons where Liverpool, you couldn't disappoint this Liverpool team. You couldn't put them on the back foot because they had something about them. We've seen games where they've been late, you know, 80-odd minutes, goals down, win the match. We've seen goals where they've been one each, find a way to get a winner. These games where they've had to dig in and hold on to what they've got. Some of that is eroded, and I don't know where that comes with confidence, lack of form, lack of...
It comes with a foundation. It comes with a weak foundation.
Yeah.
I just think, you know...
The centre-back thing has eventually come to roost.
I think so, Rob. I mean, listen, Ozak Kabak. I mean, I think it was good that he, you know, I think we all wanted to see him play, Rob. And Jordan Henderson, I thought at times, read the game really well, looked good. Kabak just looked a little short for me, Rob. And I tweeted out there, you know, I think I tweeted out, he doesn't look ready. I thought he looked shaky. Jamie Vardy ran off him for fun. I mean, because I watched it closely, and sometimes those runs didn't get the ball. But I'm thinking, wow, if the ball's played there, he's going to get in behind. And, you know, a few people said, well, you shouldn't. I'm not blaming Kabak Rob for his performance. Yeah. And it wasn't his fault. The Alisson, that goal was the goalkeeper's fault. Yeah. No question, it's the goalkeeper's fault. But the ball was going over his head. And if the goalkeeper, you know, didn't come out and make a mess of it, granted, then they might have been struggling again. The last goal was Kabak was at position. So again, he's 20 years of age, but what a tough game to come into. And I just thought he looked a little shaky positionally. He kept his passing very, very simple. Again, we'll see how he develops. And he's young and he's international and he's been playing in the Bundesliga. And I get all that. But I just thought, I guess I expected a more of a solid defender, Robert. And I just felt he struggled. I just felt that. Did you? Or am I being too
I thought first off he didn't do too bad. He didn't have much to do, did he?
He
didn't have much to do, but he looked okay. I kept a bit of an eye on him. Obviously, we're trying to watch a game and these other things in studio. Yeah. But one of the issues, so two things I was thinking about last night with Kabak. I'm thinking, what a shame he's come into Liverpool team at this time. Can you imagine if he's next to Van Dijk?
Yeah, I know.
In the Liverpool team, it would be different. Also, in terms of the spirit and the confidence around the group is low, and you're a 20-year-old kid. Your first game in the country is difficult. So I get all that, and you know whether the decision is right to play him or not. Listen, hindsight's a beautiful thing.
Yeah,
I just feel as though he wasn't to totally blame him for the whole defeat.
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. All I said was he didn't look ready.
Yeah, he didn't look ready. And I don't know if that's part of going in the team that's not on top of its game. I just think if it's a Liverpool team that are flying, you slot in, you just keep the ball moving and whatever. Trent Alexander-Arnold's having an absolute nightmare in terms of his defensive covering that. The couple of times that Kabak's got Harvey Barnes on his shoulder, Trent Alexander's going the other way, but he's running forward.
Yeah,
I mean, come on. I've got a kid here who's coming in. Start coming around. Give me a little bit of cover. Give me a little bit of help.
Yeah. If you think that that's a potential weak, and we've pointed him out, I think it was last weekend in the studio, he had a couple of not great moments defensively. Now, if you marry that with on his side, Ozan Kabak, who's making his first appearance, it's alarm bells. Add on to that, Jamie Vardy and Harvey Barnes. I mean, I mean, what a front two to lean on that side. And at any moment of a counter attack or a threat in behind, they go. I mean, Vardy's movement, and I know we've said it before, but he's astonishing. He's an astonishing professional with a hunger that's remarkable. And it just my one of my final notes again is brittle defensively in the goalkeeper.
Yeah,
He looks a little bit shot of confidence, and he's having a terrible moment right now.
How he can go from where he's at, one of the best,
world class,
rarely looks like there's a mistake, to now all of a sudden that perception changed. And now if you're playing Liverpool, you start thinking keeper could be a bit dodgy. I mean, this Leipzig game, Rob, could be tricky. Leipzig are a German version of Leicester.
Everything's tricky, Rob, when the foundation's brittle. It's a brittle foundation. You know, we've talked about it before when City have got in the Champions League about not being secured defensively. I tell you, it reminded me a little bit of Chelsea and Frank, when everybody was going forward and they kept getting caught on a counter-attack. And I know Liverpool's high press and their possession moves them up the field, so they're naturally going to be, there's going to be space in behind them. But when those defenders aren't at the top of their game and the football's not great and the midfield is a little weakened because of certain players are out or whatever, any game now for them is going to be difficult. And I was shocked at how, like, 67 minutes or whenever the goal went in for Mo Salah.
I thought,
wow, they've played well, Liverpool. Good reaction, good football. A little shaky at moments, and it's like, oh, it didn't quite happen for Vardy, and he hits this and he hits that, and the final ball wasn't there, but then it did come. And the mistake obviously compounded it at that particular point. The offside was a tight one. It's tough times for Liverpool. Yeah. It's tough times. And now they've got to be focused on the top four, finishing in those top four spots. Anything outside of that would be a disaster, really. I just wonder how the manager, Rob, is going to react. What do you think?
When he was asked, I think it was after the first original press conference he's done on the side of the pitch, he goes into the bigger press conference and he was asked, or Liverpool still in the title race? And I mean, it was hard to watch, wasn't it? I thought it was a difficult watch. Mm. I'm a little concerned, I think I've said, about his mental health, Rob. I think what's happened in his life with his mother and not being able to go to dinner is something that stays with you and something that's more important than winning Premier League titles.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I agree with you.
And I just wonder that Liverpool might have to take care of this guy. Because he's so emotional, everything comes out so much. I just feel that he could be in a really vulnerable, uncomfortable position. And I hope Liverpool, who generally do things really well, have given him the right kind of support. He almost, Rob, shouldn't be doing press conferences at the moment. He should almost have a 2-week off. His assistant do them or somebody else do them. He doesn't need to be front and vocal at the moment.
I don't know if it's even the right thing to do, Rob, and to mention a couple of things that people sent me about. It's more hearsay, but a big bust up in the dressing room afterwards, and Klopp, you know, walking out. And again, I'm just saying it to you like we're having a chat, mate. And I know people listen to this, and it's absolutely nothing. There's nothing that I can there's not a report I can point to. It's just a couple of people and through a little bit of hearsay that there was a big bust up and Klopp walked out and there was all this and that, which might or might not be true. It just adds to the pressure around the club. If it is true, it might be a lot of absolute twaddle. It might be a lot of rubbish. But I just, you know, let's just keep, I guess the point is, let's just keep an ear to the ground about anything that's happened at football club. I mean, it'd be horrifically awful if for whatever reason he leaves this club. You know, I think the bookmakers have got him, Rob. Again, something else. I mean, there's so much social media. When we look at news constantly, you know, is he apparently he's the bookmaker's next manager to leave in the Premier League.
No, wait, favourite manager to leave?
Sack or lose his job. So I read again. I found that somewhere else. So listen, it's a tough time right now, and they've got to regroup. They had a good week's training. So when you kick off against Leicester, a difficult match, I thought it looked like they benefited from the rest and a little bit of training. But we'll see, mate. It's a hammy blow of a result.
Last week coming up, Rob. By the way, so the Leipzig game this Tuesday, and then the Merseyside derby next weekend.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Next Saturday. I mean, a massive week for them, where they're going to have to bounce back, aren't they?
Well, yeah, they are. It's that club, isn't it? It's that club where the expectation, the pressure is immense. But he needs his club. I think you make a good point. Yeah. He needs his club to rally round him, and you'll never walk alone. Is the ethos of this football club. He needs some support right now. You're absolutely right, Rob. You know, your mum goes like that, and you can't be there. Don't you start to kind of like not regret what you're doing, but the anger at the situation.
And you question, you know, where your priorities are and should be. And you know what's even bit I can't understand. You can travel to I think it's Hungary to play the Leipzig game, but he can't travel to go to his mum's. Yeah. I mean, something doesn't seem right. But hopefully, problems that Jurgen Klopp can deal with, and hope you know we hope he continues to be the Jurgen Klopp we've loved in the Premier League. Difficult times for him and his football club at the moment. Let's move on to another team, Rob, who had a difficult time today. We've tended to say in the past we thought they were beyond these days, but 1-0 down after 2 minutes. Bruno Fernandes again getting his team out of trouble with a lovely goal just before half time, and then a few chances at either end. No great chances, in fairness. West Bromwich Albion to Mbajon could well have gone on and won the game. So it's another day when Manchester United, I think, had evidence why nobody's really talking seriously about them winning Premier League titles.
Yeah, I mean, I thought they paid again for a wasted first half. And I know that the record has been good, that they've gone behind away from home and won. I think it's seven times that they've done that. But I think we've said before, that's great, but it's still really not a great way of carrying on away from home. And I know they often come back and win games, but what it does, it's like 45 minutes then of a waste. It's wasted time. And they get the goal, it was just before halftime, wasn't it, Bruno's left foot?
44, yeah.
Yeah. And that gives them 45 minutes to come on strong and to try and find a way. But and today was a game where they couldn't. And it just goes back to urgency, Rob. And the urgency in the last 15 minutes, if you're watching Man United, it's like zoom, it's like fast forward on the football. The passing, the running, the movement, the desperation. I think that's a good word of describing what you're seeing with the performance. Is there a desperation about it? Is there an urgency about it? And I saw that in the last 15 minutes, Rob. I saw nothing of that in the first 45 minutes. So people sort of say, are they mentally ready to win a title? I don't know. I think it's more basic than that, Rob. That they're just not consistent enough. And defensively, again, you're right. Mbajian could have scored a hat trick. You know, so that element of the game and the balance and to be fair, we've want them to attack and to go forward. That's one at the best, but they still look like they're going to get scored on a counter attack, and that's something that the manager's got to figure out.
I read an interesting stat, and obviously you can take stats to make your argument or not, depending on how you look at them. But it was an interesting stat that I heard. Since Ollie's taken over the team, they've dropped more points to bottom three teams than they have to top four. It's basically it's part of like that preparation, that thing that you know, Man City.
Motivation.
It goes those days when it's West Brom, doesn't quite seem to be there. And it's something that sort of trails through since Ollie's been at the football club. And if you're going to win titles, Rob, you can't, that has to change. You have to beat those teams at the bottom and make sure you're getting points from those in the top four as well.
The right side of the pitch. I just want to. I'm trying to take it forward, Rob, and I want to. I want to have a little chat about how this team and where this team can and should improve. The right side of the field is. I mean, there's a few priorities. Centre back is a priority.
Yeah.
I still think a centre forward. Cavani's great and all that, but I'm talking about into next season is another priority. But the right side. Rashford started there, Rob. Greenwood come into that position. You know, Diallo, the new kid, might play there. Aaron Wan-Bissaka is one of the best tacklers I've ever seen. But is that? But for a high level, a Premier League winning team, Rob, is his position got to be better than that going forward? The right side isn't producing anything. It's not producing anything. Everything's coming from the left side. Luke Shaw's doing great. Rashford can play over there. Martial can play over there. You know, Bruno floats over there a little bit. The left side is really good going forward. The right side offers very little.
I wouldn't necessarily say that the right... In Wan-Bissaka, and I get what you're saying, he's not Trent Alexander-Arnold. He doesn't quite... He's not probably Reece James. But he's a good defender. And do you know what? I'll take a good defender, but I take your point, but bring me quality in front of him.
Right, okay.
That guy in front of him, and so he can support. He's a good athlete, and he'll win the ball, and he'll give it to me. And I've got one who can do a little bit. Because if I get one there in the back who's, you know, quite a nice footballer, but don't want to defend, I'll have a good defender, and I'll take Sean. And you say, put that other centre back in. But you're right on the right hand side. When Rashford plays on the right hand side, Rob, I'm shaking my head because I don't like him there. I don't think it helps his game. I don't think he particularly likes playing there. Of course, he'll do the job. That's a problem position that they've got to look at this summer and go, upgrade. You know, buy a player who upgrades them in that position.
And I think an intelligent player, Rob. Something a little, I guess it sounds insulting, but not a pacey, a clever player, Rob. A clever playmaking wide player that loves out there, might be left footed, comes inside, can dink balls.
Pedro Neto type.
Yeah, I love Neto. I mean, he scored a great goal, didn't he, for Wolves? Yeah. But maybe somebody with more experience, Rob. Just something different. They've got pace and they've got Dan James, they've got Rashford and Martial, and they've got quick players. But somebody with a bit of class, I think, would fit well. I mean, we all look back to Beckham's ability in that right side midfield and how Giggs was the flying winger on the other side. You know, somebody that can do something a little bit differently on the right side to provide goals, to provide assists and good crosses, that would be a good position to upgrade. I just want to switch it over, Rob, because my underappreciated player is I guess it might be a tough sell in some ways because of where his team is and the amount of goals they've conceded. But Sam Johnstone, by the way, he made a magnificent save for Harry Maguire late into the game where he just gets his fingertips to it. He made a save with his feet earlier. And every time I think about West Brom and I watch this player, I never see him make too many mistakes, mate. Sam Johnstone is underappreciated. And because he's in a team that's struggling, and with all the goals that go in, you automatically don't think the goalkeeper's pretty good. I think Sam Johnstone's pretty good. And he's been there forever, I think. Didn't he come through?
He was at United Academy.
I just thought I'd give him a shout-out. He made a brilliant save today. And I thought, you know what? For a team that's struggling as they are, I think he does all right. Sam Johnstone, my underappreciated performer of the week.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. Sam Johnson's the new Aaron Ramsdale. His team might get relegated. He's going to get a move in the Premier League. Maybe not to Sheffield United. Let's have a quick chat about Arsenal Leeds, Robbie Musto. What a really good game. I was really looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I kind of quite fancied Leeds. I thought, how good is this Arsenal team going to be without the ball? Because Leeds are going to have ball, they're going to fly forward, they're going to have lots of runners, lots of interchanging the position. I was thinking they're going to wear Arsenal out. They're going to wear them down and run them down. Very different.
Very different. And again, late in the game, Leeds can run like all day.
Yeah.
So Leeds are strongest quite often in the last 15, 20 minutes because their energy levels. But Arsenal did a brilliant job. And again, you know, there's not Leeds United aren't easy to stop in their tracks. Yeah. Arsenal did it, stopped them in their tracks, couldn't get out, couldn't play, couldn't get on the front foot, couldn't get it up to for Bamford. This is aggressive. I've seen David Luiz.
David Luiz had a fight, didn't he?
It was aggressive. It was flipping. Ooh. It was anytime the ball went up there. It was really aggressive. And I think again the team that had a 4 weeks training, I thought they looked bright, energetic. Yeah. They pressed really, really well. And I thought, wow, there's a team that you wouldn't expect to go toe to toe in terms of physicality and energy against Leeds United. And I thought they did a brilliant job of it. I mean, I just thought this young looking side, fresh. I was really impressed with Arsenal, Rob. I mean, throughout the game, but particularly in the first. Yeah. You know, whatever it was.
In the end, he had to make a couple of substitutions. Leeds get back to 4-2. I thought he made a couple of, you know, Elneny came on. He got Holding on. He got a couple of people just to steady it up, to shore it up. I like that front three underneath. Aubameyang looks like fresh, want to help. You know, Aubameyang's obviously the main man. They want to play the port. Saka and Smith Rowe did particularly well and often drove in field, sometimes to take the fullbacks with him who chased him and leave the space on the outside fullbacks. Odegaard. Was on the periphery a little bit. Nice, few nice touches, but didn't quite influence the game maybe as you'd like. But I think there's hope there. And that's the kind of thing I was saying before where I think we spoke earlier in the season. I said, if nothing else, give the kids a go and let's see where we are. And then once we've kids, there's a time to bring maybe the Pepes back in or the Williams if that's the case. But, you know, for now, if these kids are going for it. And as you say, there was an energy about Arsenal for the first 15 or 20 minutes. But I think shocked Leeds.
Yeah.
I don't think Leeds quite knew what was happening.
Yeah, because I mean we watched nearly every game. And again, I haven't seen, you know, usually they shock the opponents with the way they runs forward. They can't run forward if they haven't got the ball. And Arsenal did a brilliant job. Remember as well, by the way, Rob, again, important, Thomas Partey missing and Kieran Tierney missing. You know, you put those two in this team, you know, I don't know, you know, the wide left Smith Rowe, I don't know.
It's Valentine's Day. Give Smith Rowe a bit of love.
All right. What I'm saying is this Arsenal team can get better, you know, with those two players in it. And by the way, just a side note, Thomas Partey, by the way, I mean, he's never been injured by the performance. He's got a tremendous record of missing very few games over multiple seasons, and he just can't get himself going. So Arsenal fans out there, don't think that you've signed an injury-prone player because you haven't. He's just having one of those and maybe a little extra intensity in the league.
The league's intensity just makes his muscles a little bit sore and then feeling right with things.
Yeah, but he's going to be really important, and this isn't. I can't imagine it's going to be long term. But I liked Arsenal today. I liked them. A little tired later on. Leeds are unbelievable. I can't. You know the way they keep going, Rob. Right, they never stop. They just never stop. And at 4-2, I'm like, wow. I think there was, 70-something minutes or something?
Yeah, I was thinking, hold on. Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. So I just think Arsenal, and I know where they are on the league table, and normally, you know, you're like, well, you know, the table doesn't lie. And I just feel like it was a big transition, and we're still seeing it, and we're going to continue to see it. I like Arteta. And I know it doesn't always work out, but I do see signs there, Rob, that this club is getting better, and those young players are talented. Aubameyang up the front, and I know that you were a little worried about Aubameyang. I know I had a little bit go back and forth with Rebecca about Aubameyang and his attitude and his signing his new contract.
No, I was just saying that something didn't look right. Obviously, we knew he had problems with his mother. Do you know what his body language looked back to him? He was involved. Yeah. He was smiling. He was working across the line. He drifted out on that left-hand side, the goal and that. Just feel like he's back to himself. And that was what I was worried about. I said, something doesn't look and feel right about Aubameyang. Yeah. I think it shows in his demeanour and certainly he looks better for it. Just finally on this one, Rob, with Arteta. Yeah. So they're 10th in the league, 34 points, which is, you know, from, say, top six is 5-point gap to the likes of West Ham and Chelsea. Europa League this week, Benfica. As we go down the track, what's going to be most important? Would a Europa League, obviously, to win it gets you Champions League and a top 10 finish, would be seen as success, wouldn't it? Or do you think the league placing has bigger as a better bearing?
No, I think a Europa League victory would be amazing.
Yeah. So all I'm saying is, do you think down the track they may start to, if it's a Sunday and a Thursday, think about playing the strongest team on the Thursdays?
Yeah, I think so, Rob. I mean, normally I don't like that. you know, particularly if it's, I think we spoke in the studio with Danny Higginbotham about it, and but he was sort of saying that, you know, Spurs might, they're still really close. I mean, surely it's better for them to go for the top four, but he was sort of saying, well, maybe they're going to prioritize Europa League. Arsenal, yeah. If they have to, I'm not a big fan of it really, but if they have to, if there's a couple of key players that they want to get in tip top shape, why
Jose
not?
Jose did it, didn't he? His first time, was it his first time at Man United, where Ibrahimovic and that, and beat Ajax in the final and got himself in the Champions League and prioritised it. Just interesting, I wonder with Arteta whether he would think that or Arsenal team who want to get, you know, to try and get to that top six and see that as progress.
They're a long way off, aren't they, Rob? They're a long way off Champions League with through the league. So this would be a brilliant way of doing it. Yeah, and give the club such a great boost you know, going into an off-season with the transfer market and stuff.
Absolutely. Just a few of the results to catch up on. Brighton 0, Dillon 0. Brighton, again, played good football. Thought were the better team, weren't able to finish, which has kind of been their problem for much of the season. Crystal Palace 0, Burnley 3. Bad day for Roy Hodgson's team. 2 goals in the first 10 minutes conceded. And the Matthew Loughton third goal. And, worry for Palace every time when Wilson's not there. They don't seem to get results. And I think one or two is questioning whether... Dare we say it? It's time for Roy. Is it time maybe for moving on and thinking of something else, bringing a different flavour to the football club?
What do you think, Rob? I mean, my opinion on that is it is the right time. They're a very established club. They've got a good squad of players, some younger players that have been bought, adds attacking threat. They're kind of stable, Rob. It might be a good time instead of like a panic up. Where they start next season and then they're in the bottom three or four or five, and then, you know, there's got to be a big change. It might be in the summer. We know there's a bigger market of managers that they can go and get. There's a few people, you know, that would love that opportunity, more than a few people. It can't go on forever, Rob. He's been brilliant, and what a great job he's done at this football club. I just think it would be the right time this summer with a solid season to bring somebody else in with a decent squad. What do you reckon?
Yeah, well, I tend to agree, but I think this football club will look at the Boer time and the losses and, you know.
You've got to move on from that, haven't you?
They've got to be brave. They've got to, you know, do their research, find the right guy and then look to move on. And there's a lot of players, I know, contracts are up at Palace and they're aging out at the moment.
Yeah, they are.
And so it's a big sort of job for somebody to go in and lean off. Tyu's name, I hear linked once or twice. A certain Mr. Gerrard, who's up in Scotland at the moment, would be a good kind of next step.
I don't think they'd get him. I don't think he'd go to Crystal Palace.
You don't think he'd go to Palace?
I don't think he would.
Interesting.
Oh. Frank Lampard.
To cut his teeth. Yeah, stay in London, cut his teeth. Would Frank be Lampard. The kind of manager that they believe could make sure they stay in the league? I mean, that's the dilemma for Palace, isn't it?
Yeah.
But, I don't know. Yeah, we'll see how that one goes. A little bit of conversation. I'm sure there's going to be more, especially if Palace don't pick up a few results. And the last one was Southampton 1, Wolves 2. Wolves getting a much-needed win. Your man Pedro Neto with the winner. Penalty given for Wolves, not for Southampton. Ralf Hasenhüttl was beside himself talking about that after just saying the inconsistencies have hurt his team. Lovely Danny Ings goal for Southampton, continues to score. But, good 3 points for Wolves. Southampton on a real disappointing...
They've lost six, haven't they? They've lost six on a spin. Losses, funny team. Mm. Like, teams in around there, streaks. It's all about streaks, like good streaks, bad streaks. I think they're going to be fine. But, wow, six after doing so well and being so high, and now they have an awful run of results. It's just what the Premier League's all about, mate, isn't it? You never know what you're going to get. You never know what you're going to get. And that balance between winning and losing is such a fine line. And if and Southampton and Palace and others around that, sometimes they're above that line, sometimes they're below it. What a bad run the Saints are having.
Yeah, absolutely bad run. But that's it for this week, my friend, and what proved to be a dramatic week at the top of the table. Man City keep on winning. Manchester United keep tripping themselves up. And Liverpool lost to Leicester. In his words, not mine, Jurgen Klopp saying they're now out of the title race. We'll be back on Wednesday, that's the 17th February, to review the midweek Champions League game when Liverpool will play Leipzig in Hungary. Manchester City take their unbeaten run to Everton in the Premier League. So, on Valentine's Day Sunday. What more of a bromance than the two Robbies could you want? I'm Earl. He's Must Go, together with the two Robbies. Thanks for watching and listening. Stay safe and stay healthy. It's a good night from me.
And it's good night from him. Good night.
Good night.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.